From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, how big will the crisis on the southern border grow before Democrats in Congress act? Last month, over 144,000 migrants were apprehended at the border. More than 675,000 have been apprehended or declared inadmissible so far this fiscal year, nearly double the number from the previous year. Mixed in with the migrants are drug runners and gang members. What is fueling this surge, and what will Congress do? Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina joins me in just a moment with some answers. Also, Vice President Mike Pence yesterday had this to say about what flags should fly on flagpoles at U.S. embassies.
When it comes to the American flagpole at American embassies and capitals around the world, having the one American flag fly, I think, is the right decision.
That's supporting the decision of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, saying only the American flag will fly on flagpoles. And in Missouri, with the state's one remaining abortion clinic slated to be closed for regulatory violations, is State Circuit Court Judge Michael Stelzer allowing abortion politics to eclipse the law and health care concerns by keeping it open? Missouri Senator Bob Orner has the latest. And speaking of abortion politics, we're going to continue to explore the hypocrisy of Hollywood that the news media conveniently ignores, as many in the film industry threaten to leave states like Georgia for passing pro-life laws. What kind of hypocrisy am I speaking of? Well, I'll sum it up in one word: China. China is set to surpass the U.S. in gross box office ticket sales next year, made possible by a cooperative effort between Hollywood and the Chinese government. We'll talk about it with Mike Gonzalez, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Hey, before I jump to my first interview, this week's special focus, as you know, the abortion issue is in the forefront. You see the Democratic Party pushing a radical agenda when it comes to abortion, wanting to force taxpayers to fund it. By the way, we talked about this yesterday in the appropriations bill being pushed by Democrats, H.R. 2740, almost a $1 trillion funding bill. The administration, the White House, releasing a statement of administrative policy called a SAP today, saying they oppose House Bill 2740, and among the many, many reasons is the elimination of the protections of taxpayers when it comes to abortion funding. So anyway, as we seek to get a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, now 50 times members of the Republican Party have gone to the floor asking for a vote on this bill that would keep America from going down the path of infanticide. Well, they refused to do so. So House Minority Whip Steve Scalise and Representative Ann Wagner have filed a discharge petition on the Born Alive Act. Needs 218 members to sign it in order to force a vote. Now, we're at 201. 17 more signatures are needed. You need to find out if your member has signed it. If not, you need to call them. You can find out where they stand. Go to TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over to Steve Scalise's website. But we're also, to force this issue with Nancy Pelosi, we're going to take 90,000 newborn thermal baby hats to Nancy Pelosi so she cannot deny the reality that these are babies we're talking about. And if you'd like to join us in this effort, you can go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the End Birthday Abortion banner. Or right now, we've got folks standing by to take your phone call to help in this effort. 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. For every $9 you give, we'll send another newborn baby hat to Nancy Pelosi. All right. In a clear victory, many are calling this a clear victory for President Trump in his negotiations with the Mexican government to help control the Mexican-American border by threatening to impose a 5% tariff on Mexican exports to the United States. Late Friday, they agreed to the deal. And now it looks like there may be some relief coming. Since Democrats in Congress won't act, the president has been negotiating to get Mexico to help stem the tide at the border. Joining me now to talk about this, Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina. He represents the 5th District of South Carolina, serves on the Budget Committee, the Oversight Committee, and the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. Congressman Norman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Glad to be here, Tony.
All right, let's talk about the seriousness of this border crisis. I mean, 144,000 people last month detained at the border or found inadmissible to the country. What's it going to take to get Congress to act?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Tony. The Democrats simply are set in against this president. The bill that they passed, H.R. 6, you know, it rewards those who break the law and it punishes those who follow it. It's very simple. And they just, for this president to get a win, they're totally against. And as you mentioned, 144,000 that we caught, not telling how many more that got away. And it's since last year, we've had a 7,000% increase. The bill that they want to pass is amnesty for all. It puts 2.7 million more people that we don't know who they are, gang members. And it's ludicrous. So what the president did with Mexico was a genius plan. No other president has done this. And he put some teeth into it where they had accountability, as you mentioned, with the 5% tariffs. And you saw how fast they reacted, you know, to say what he was doing on May 30th. Then 8 days later, on June 7th, they came to the table. It's a real win for the American people. I guess it's going to take more things like this. We've got an invasion in this country. And we were with Mark Morgan this morning, and he's head of DHS, and he was under the Obama administration the same role. And it's time to act. He's exacerbated. He really is. And, you know, we've got to treat this as an invasion and back this president to the hilt.
Congressman, I want to get to that in a moment. I've got a clip I want to play. But going back to your point about the president and his negotiation, I mean, clearly he's revealed his command of the art of the deal here. Even, you know, there were some Republican senators that were getting a little wobbly when he was talking about the tariffs with Mexico. But I would have to think that this is bolstering the president's command of the situation, both with Democrats and Republicans alike.
Well, but we should. But Tony, look what Nancy Pelosi's doing. She criticized him for this very deal that he was trying to do with Mexico. And now that he got a real concession out of him, she's criticizing him there. They can't have it both ways, and they're trying to do that. And, you know, the end goal is to sign a safe third country agreement for Mexico to sign with the U.S. We get that. We are a long way toward solving our crisis and not putting this country through what the Democrats are willing to sacrifice the security, they're willing to sacrifice our national debt situation with, you know, this number of people coming on the border, all, in my opinion, to just strike out against this president with any type of a win, which is so unfair.
Well, you talk about the crisis at the border. There's a humanitarian crisis. I mean, we have it's been determined by the sampling that's been done with DNA testing that we have children being essentially brought over who are not related to the people bringing them across, although they're claiming as such. We have drugs coming over. We have gang members coming over. And this is coming also at a great price to the American taxpayer. This is the chief border patrol agent of the El Paso sector, Aaron Hull, in an interview this morning with Bill Hemmer of Fox News. Listen to what he had to say.
Regardless of what we do with the law, the requirement for resources is a daily 24-hour requirement. A year ago, here in El Paso sector, we were spending a little over $1,000 a day on alien supplies. Now we're spending over $40,000 a day.
How can we sustain that type of increase?
Well, you can't. And again, we're already $25 trillion in debt. I mean, why? For what sane reason would the Democrats fight this? And you've got to figure that it's just to hopefully be against this president where he is not elected to another term. This has emboldened him, though. Like you said, I mean, it is what it is with what he's doing, and he's winning. This isn't for them to put 6,000 Border Patrol, Mexican Border Patrol agents, is a huge win for not only the president, but for the country.
Right.
And I just can't understand their reasoning. And there's very little said about it on the floor. But to see a Mark Morgan, who we met at 8:15 this morning, he was exacerbated. He really was. And we're a group of us are going to sign a letter and get a meeting with the president to, one, emphasize this is an invasion, an all-out invasion, and we need to do whatever it takes to solve it now. We can't wait.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. My guest, Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina, talking about what's happening on the southern border. Media not fully reporting the depth of the crisis here, and nor are they really all of them reporting the significance of the president's deal with Mexico. Although I give the Washington Post credit because they're reporting that Mexico has deployed a militarized National Guard unit at the Guatemalan border, made thousands of additional migrant arrests, and has accepted busloads of asylum seekers turned away from the U.S. Border daily, all geared toward cutting the migrant flow sharply in the coming weeks because of the deal that the president made. I'd have to say, Congressman, that's progress.
Well, it's progress, and it shows that, you know, he's putting the interest of America at the forefront. And the fact that we can't move in Congress shows the importance of making the deal with Mexico and supporting this president on what he's doing and letting him know that there are a lot of us that back him, and the fact that he's doing it, and it shows of the fact he can negotiate. He's got a sixth sense on how to make things happen, and this is working. And there's no downside to what he did. No other president has done what he has done. They've kicked it down the road, and we're out of roadway to kick the can.
Speaking of negotiations, as you mentioned, the House passed their amnesty for all bill last week, H.R. 6. The Senate could take that up, essentially gut that bill, and put put what's needed in there to address the border crisis, send it over, and force negotiations between the House, the Senate, and the White House. Do you think that's possible?
Depends on what it is. If it lacks funding, then it's going to be a tough sell. If it lacks, as this bill does, it does not prevent, it prevents Homeland Security from using their gang database to exclude people. I mean, it's got to have the basics that make sense. And this president's not going to sign anything that does not have funding. It does not have the basics of checking people out who come into this country and having a point of entry. Just to have mass open borders is not fair. It's not sustainable from a dollars and cents standpoint.
Now, very quickly, we're up against this break, but are your colleagues hearing from their constituents about the border crisis?
Absolutely. That's what this president got elected on. I mean, that was at the forefront of his campaign. And, yeah, they want to see action. And a lot of people, I'm sure your listeners are wondering, what's causing the Democrats not to be an overwhelming vote in favor of bolstering our border? And I'm as perplexed as you are to hear Nancy Pelosi continually criticize and have the vote against what this man is doing is bad, to say the least.
Congressman Ralph Norman, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for what you're doing, Tony.
All right. Folks, don't go away. Missouri State Senator Bob Onder joins us next with the latest in that state. Don't go away.
There is unprecedented religious persecution around the globe. In recent years, research has found increasing governmental and social hostility towards religious believers worldwide. For the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, than any other religious group. While the specific threats to religious freedom vary in type and intensity, one common source is the legal and cultural support for apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws, which often threaten the freedom to choose or change one's faith. In a new publication from Family Research Council, we list which nations around the world have these unjust laws on the books, and spotlight people who have faced severe penalties simply for sharing or changing their faith. For more information on religious hostility due to apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws around the world, visit frc.org/ABA laws. That's frc.org/ABA laws.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Can United States senators interrogate court nominees on their religious beliefs? This is a controversial question that our country is facing today. In light of this controversy, FRC has taken up the task of answering this question with one of their latest publications, Rebels Without a Clause. We've seen in recent Senate confirmation hearings a troubling pattern arise where senators have begun questioning presidential nominees about their faith as an attempt to discredit them. These interrogations have gone so far as to asking nominees of their theological beliefs, church membership, and associations with faith-based nonprofits. It has been an alarming display of hostility toward religion and people of faith. Visit frc.org/test to learn what questioning the Constitution's No Religious Test Clause allows and forbids in the process of confirming judicial nominees. That's frc.org/test.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. By the way, again, reminding you, if you'd like to join the End Birthday Abortion Campaign, we've got folks standing by to take your phone call right now, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. For every $9 you give, we'll send another newborn baby hat to Nancy Pelosi. Our goal, 90,000. We're over halfway there. You can be a part of making that happen. All right, some breaking news. This was just handed to me as I sat down behind the microphone. You'll recall we were talking about several times, Michigan attorney Michael Bogren. He's the one that went after the Catholic couple who did not want to conduct same-sex weddings on their farm. They also sold their produce at a local farmer's market, and the city of East Lansing, who hired Bogren, actually said, no, you can't, because you discriminate. In fact, Bogren is the one who compared them to the Ku Klux Klan. Well, he was nominated for a district court position, and this, apparently right off the wire, I have not been able to confirm it, but it comes from the Detroit News. Michigan attorney Michael Bogren says he has written to the White House asking to withdraw his nomination to the federal bench following growing Republican backlash over his record. Bogren declined to comment further when reached Tuesday by the Detroit News. That is good news. We don't want to see judges that are hostile toward religious freedom being advanced by Republicans to the courts. Well, speaking of judges, yesterday, a St. Louis Circuit Court judge granted Planned Parenthood a preliminary injunction that effectively keeps its license to operate a St. Louis abortion center open for at least 11 more days. Judge Michael Stelzer ordered the State Department of Health and Senior Services to decide whether to renew Planned Parenthood's annual license by June 21st when attorneys representing the organization and the state appear in court again. Now, this is the second time the judge has temporarily extended the abortion center's license. It's the only abortion center in the state of Missouri. Now, the judge's decision on Monday means that this center will continue to operate while he weighs Planned Parenthood's objections to the way state health officials have handled the organization's request for a new license. Now, there's a lot behind this as to why they were not granted a new license. Joining us now to talk about this is Senator Bob Onder, who is in the state legislature there in Missouri and is one of the pro-life champions. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it's good to be back on. Thank you for having me, Tony.
All right. There's a story behind this as to this is not arbitrary, but this clinic has amassed a pretty, well, I'd say a pretty rotten record when it comes to the health of their clients, and the department's on pretty good grounds of not renewing their license.
Well, Tony, I believe that they are. The Department of Health in Missouri is led by Dr. Randall Williams, who himself is a very prominent, very accomplished obstetrician gynecologist. I can't imagine a better person to be running the Department of Health when it comes to issues of women's health. And we know that over the last several years, dozens of ambulance calls to this Planned Parenthood facility have occurred. Specifically, though, the Department of Health is investigating multiple cases of botched abortions, including one where a woman had to come back because she was still pregnant, come back for a second procedure at the abortion clinic. There have been cases of the clinic not reporting complications as they're required to by Missouri law and not following informed consent requirements that are under Missouri law. So the Department of Health, of course, wanted to investigate, do a thorough investigation. They regulate 4,000 facilities in the state of Missouri of all kinds, from surgery centers to endoscopy labs. And according to the director of the department, never has any facility refused to allow their doctors to be questioned about safety practices. But Planned Parenthood adamantly refuses to allow 5 of 7 abortionists who do abortions to be interviewed by the Department of Health. And the Department of Health is simply saying, if you're not willing to abide by the regulations and the laws that govern every outpatient surgical facility in Missouri, then we cannot grant you a license.
So why is this state judge then stepping in when the clinic, if they would comply, they either have an opportunity to make their case and get their license renewed, or if they have something to hide, they're not going to talk to you. But you have a judge stepping in saying, hey, I'm going to keep their license going. Is that judge going to force Planned Parenthood to come forth with this information?
Yeah, so Tony, you alluded in the lead into this segment about liberal activist judges. And unfortunately, we have that problem in a big way in Missouri. And honestly, this case shouldn't be before Judge Stelzer at all. In the state of Missouri, if any citizen is unhappy with an administrative agency, they should appeal to the Administrative Hearing Commission. Now, the only good thing I can say about Judge Stelzer's ruling yesterday is that he did acknowledge that the AHC, not his court, is the proper venue for Planned Parenthood if they're unhappy with the State Department of Health. But he said, well, first the state has to formally deny the license. The state basically just said, we need this before we can renew your license. Just like I, as a medical doctor, every year I have to supply certain things like proof of my hospital privileges, proof of malpractice insurance, and proof of my continuing education before my license gets renewed. So basically, a little bit of this is technical right now. I hope at the end of the day, Judge Stelzer admits that his court is not the proper place for this. The Department of Health and the commission, if necessary, are the proper venue. But really, under Missouri law right now, Tony, this abortion clinic, our last abortion clinic, by the law, ought to be shut down.
Well, Senator, what troubles me is if the fact that it is the last clinic, that should not have a bearing on whether or not it has a license to operate if they're not complying with the laws and the regulations. That's the issue. in my view.
That's right. That's right. I mean, a fundamental principle of government is that no one is above the law.
Right.
And when it comes to protecting health and safety of patients in any setting, you have to abide by the laws and regulations that are meant to protect patients. And that's what this issue is about.
We got to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Folks, don't go away. We're back after this.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality. But its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, a lot happening. I want to continue this. One of the major controversies that's brewing right now over abortion, and I'm telling you, abortion is coming to the forefront. I mean, in fact, if you get my daily update, I just sent it out. The polling shows that this issue is one that people care about. And even among Democrats, they're concerned about this. And they're leaning more toward President Trump and his position than the radicals in the Democratic Party. But I don't want to go there right now. The controversy I want to talk about is that's in play is the fact that what's happening in Georgia. Now, Georgia just passed a heartbeat bill that would ban abortion after an unborn baby's heartbeat can be detected at the sixth week of pregnancy. Well, Georgia is also a major destination for filming. Now, the Western Journal notes that pro-life laws pose a dilemma for several major entertainment powerhouses who have to hold to Hollywood's liberal orthodoxy. And so they are now piling on, saying that they're going to leave Georgia. They're going to leave these states that have these pro-life laws. Well, I detect a little hypocrisy here. Well, I guess maybe more than a little hypocrisy. Joining me now to talk about this, Mike Gonzalez, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Quite astute to pick up on that. I'd take the same level of hypocrisy.
I think we can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. Good, got you now. Am I onto something here that there's some hypocrisy in Hollywood when it comes to how they're treating Georgia and some of these other pro-life policies?
Yeah, and I think you're referring to China. What I said earlier is that you're very astute to compare the behavior of Hollywood to little Georgia and the behavior of Hollywood to China. In the case of China, it's a country, it's the second largest box office in the world after the United States. It's nearly $9 billion, probably bigger than that now. And Hollywood does all kinds of things to make sure they have a slice of the Chinese pie. And they're quite open about it. They don't hide it. They're quite happy to submit to the censorship of the Chinese Communist Party.
I want to talk about that. I talked a little bit about it yesterday, but this news just coming out actually yesterday after I finished my program. China is set to overtake the U.S. as the country with the biggest box office takings in the world next year. Now, according to a new study released by PricewaterhouseCoopers, Chinese cinemas will gross $12.28 billion in 2020 compared to $11.93 billion in the U.S., and China already sells more tickets. They recently had, in fact, this past weekend, Disney's X-Men Dark Phoenix was still the big film in the Chinese box office over the weekend. Spider-Man Far From Home granted a Chinese release on June 28th. But they're starting to squeeze now some of these Hollywood producers. They're getting caught up in the trade war with China. But I want to ask you this question, Mike. How did they get to this point to where they're in, I mean, they're in partnership in some cases with the Chinese government? I mean, how can you do that given the notorious human rights abuses of China and then go to Georgia and say, I'm leaving the state because you have pro-life laws?
Well, as you rightly put it, China's going to have the largest box office. There's no mystery why. It's a country four times the size of the United States, and they're getting wealthier because they have a measure of market capitalism. What they don't have is any political freedom. In fact, they have strict censorship. The Hollywood studios are quite happy to submit to that censorship. They have to submit sometimes their scripts. The Hollywood censors, they have invited censors to come on into the studio to see how things are filmed, and they have agreed to have movies changed after they have submitted the movie, and there's two more things. You know, they make movies already that they know they're able to guess what the Chinese censors want. So they make movies. This proliferation of Avengers movies is because these are completely non-controversial subjects, and they also know not to do or say things that will upset the Chinese. Tony, ask yourself a question. How come there's never been a movie made about the Tiananmen Square massacre? That was drama there. There were students who were crushed by soldiers. There was love. There was death. There was scheming. And Hollywood has never made a single movie about Tiananmen. Why? Because any studio that makes a movie about Tiananmen knows that it will be shut out forever out of the Chinese box office market.
Very, very interesting question, Mike. Very, very interesting. Mike Gonzalez, thanks so much for joining us. I think we're going to explore this issue some more, so we'll be in touch. Thanks so much for joining us today. All right, folks, don't go away. We're going to come back on the other side of this. I got a few more thoughts on this, then we're going to be taking your phone calls. But there's a lot to this, all right? Don't go away. More Washington Watch coming on the other side of this break.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality, but its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
Can United States senators interrogate court nominees on their religious beliefs? This is a controversial question that our country is facing today. In light of this controversy, FRC has taken up the task of answering this question with one of their latest publications, Rebels Without a Clause. We've seen in recent Senate confirmation hearings a troubling pattern arise where senators have begun questioning presidential nominees about their faith as an attempt to discredit them. These interrogations have gone so far as to asking nominees of their theological beliefs, church membership, and associations with faith-based nonprofits. It has been an alarming display of hostility toward religion and people of faith. Visit frc.org/test to learn what questioning the Constitution's No Religious Test Clause allows and forbids in the process of confirming judicial nominees. That's frc.org/test.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And again, we've got folks standing by to take your calls today. 800-225-4008. 800-225-4008. If you'd like to be a part of the End Birthday Abortion campaign that is taking place. All right. So, a lot of news happening today. As I mentioned earlier, Michael Bogren, who was nominated for a district court out of Michigan, advanced by the state's two Democratic senators, withdrawing his nomination after facing stiff opposition for his religious hostility toward a Catholic couple there in Michigan. Also, Vice President Pence going on record yesterday saying they support Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's decision to allow only the American flag to be flown on U.S. embassies, as some have been trying to raise the pride flag on embassies around the world. All right, we've been talking about this issue with Hollywood, trying to strong-arm Georgia in particular, because Georgia is a spot in which a lot of movies are now being made, because they've made a very strong incentive monetarily by their tax structure, rebates. As I've mentioned before, we did something 20 years ago in Louisiana when I was in the legislature, but Georgia did better than us. And so they've gotten a lot of the movie industry there, and it's a good place. The weather's moderate. It's a good place to do it. But there's hypocrisy here. I want to go back to what I was talking about with Mike Gonzalez, about what Hollywood has had to do to get into what was, and it is until next year, the second largest market. Next year, it's going to be the largest market for movies. Well, in order to do a movie in China, you've got to go through the State Administration of Radio, Film, and Television. Now, this is an arm of the government and the Communist Party. They're also responsible for all of the propaganda that's put out in the state. And so everything has to be run by them. And now what has been happening is they want partnerships. China's got to have a co-production role in these movies. And so you see all these positive Chinese theme movies. And Mike made a great point. Why haven't we seen a movie about Tiananmen Square? I mean, we just came up to the anniversary. Why not some kind of movie on that? Well, it's because Hollywood is working in concert with one of the most, brutal, repressive regimes. Now, these are the same people that are putting somewhere between 800,000 and 2 million Uyghur Muslims, in concentration camps to re-educate them. And by the way, some of these corporations that signed on to an ad in the New York Times yesterday, about 180 of them, not all of them, because they were a lot of small companies, but you look at the Fortune 500 companies, most of them have production facilities in China. And some, according to sources, news sources, are linked to the forced work camps of the Uyghurs. And so they want to moralize about Georgia's pro-life policies? Come on, give me a break. These people are hypocrites. Here I got a suggestion for you. All right, and I'm going to go to the phones here in just a moment to talk about this, because we actually have someone who works in the movie industry in Georgia, and they've got a perspective, and I want to hear it. But here's what I would suggest. You know, Hollywood wants to boycott Georgia. They want to strong arm Georgia over abortion. Well, how about we just skip the movies? I got a good idea. If you were planning on going to the movies this month, why don't you instead of buying a movie ticket to support the hypocrisy of Hollywood, why not join the End the Birthday Abortion campaign? Use that ticket money to send a birthday message to Nancy Pelosi that you're going to defend babies who were born. We'll send them a baby hat. Got somebody to take your call right now, 800-225-4008, if you'd like to do that. And if you'd like to talk to me, that number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, and we're going to go to Pete. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks. And thanks for everything you do. It's been a while since I've been called into your show. But I live in Savannah, Georgia, and recently worked on a Hallmark movie. A lot of my friends work in movies and are very annoyed with the pro-life legislation. And I remind them that there's nothing in the pro-life legislation that says you can't make a movie in Georgia. So their anger is misdirected at the pro-life legislation when they should direct their anger at the movie producers, studios. They're the ones that made the decision not to provide the work here. You know, they're the ones that are to blame for the lack of jobs, whatever they may be. But you know, on the corporate letter of the Times, I went online and I got a list of those corporations, and I sent text up to my friends. You know, pick a few of these companies and call them. And I took over an hour, probably close to an hour and a half of my time today, and it took a little digging, but I got the number for Estee Lauder, and I called them, and I spoke to a guy there for about half an hour, very politely and respectfully, but I said, you know, and the same with Budweiser. And I said, look, you know, you guys, maybe unwittingly, but you are supporting an agenda that supports the murder of babies, and there's more to this LGBTQ agenda than meets the eye. A lot of these homosexual groups are dupes. They're being used to promote an agenda that's not about homosexuality. They couldn't care less about that. It's about confronting Christ. That's what it's all about, and that's because the communists, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, who co-wrote the Communist Manifesto, they hated Christians because they knew the only thing that would come between them and their goal of worldwide totalitarian government was Jesus. And the same thing with Islam. And the America, whether people realize or not, is quietly becoming a Sharia-compliant country.
Well, yeah, in many ways, we are allowing other countries, and this is one of the things that that I think drives the left crazy with President Trump, is that he does pursue an America First policy on every front. And, you know, whether it's our trade with China, and China has more influence. And Hollywood is actually a perfect example of how trade with China has influenced us more than we have influenced them. We're not sending them the pro-democracy messages. We're huddling up and working in co-production with their propaganda arm. It's time to push back on this. Pete, thanks so much for calling. Thanks for calling those companies. By the way, I was just looking at this list. Estee Lauder is one of those that has a manufacturing plant in China. So they want to take issue with Georgia and their pro-life policies, you know, as being, oh, that's restrictive. It denies equality. What about China's forced abortion and sterilization policy that Estee Lauder appears to be happy with, since they're doing business in China, a manufacturing facility? Hypocrisy. It's time to call them out. You know, and the media is not doing it. The media is not going to ask them the hard questions about this, about why are you doing business with China? Hollywood, why are you allowing the censors to review your scripts and determine what you are going to have in your movies in China? And of course, now with these the trade negotiations going on, or at the trade war, China is now pushing back on Hollywood and saying, we don't have room for your movies anymore unless it's a co-production. Now, how much you want to bet that all of a sudden there's a stampede from Hollywood in order to get their movies in the queue to play in China, which they're saying they're not going to take any independent, meaning it's got to be co-produced by China. How many of these Hollywood entities are going to beat the door down to be working in a co-production situation with China? I bet a lot of them. But here they're belly aching about Georgia passing a pro-life law. What hypocrisy! 866-372-7234. And if you would prefer to opt not to go to a movie this month and rather send a pro-life message to Capitol Hill, you can join our End Birthday Abortion campaign. We've got folks standing by to take that call, 800-225-4008. I know it's a lot of numbers out there, but 800-225-4008, the number to call to join the End Birthday Abortion campaign, and 866-422-4008. FRC Radio, the number to call to talk to me. Let's go to Aaron in Nebraska. Aaron, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, I couldn't agree more with you. You know, the Democrats down in California, they're enablers of socialism, right? And it really creates this this problem with this whole deal with China, because, you know, they're trying to bring over this political influence as well. This is not strictly monetary.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's strings attached to everything that China does. And that's what this president is doing, is he's standing up because trade, we have been influenced, our policies have been influenced by the trade deficit and the amount of debt that China is holding of the U.S., and this president is standing up and pursuing what he said he was going to do, and that is an America First policy. And Aaron, you're absolutely right. The socialist policies of California are actually what drove many of these movie producers out of California to look to other places to make their movies.
And I love that you brought up the point about the abortion laws down in China as well. I'm thinking we send some of these thermal baby hats over there.
Well, I might Maybe a good idea. Aaron, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you listening. I mean, that's, I mean, I don't want you to miss this. China, and this has been, this is another, one of the other aspects of this administration in our Mexico City policy that this president put back in place, where we would not fund abortion or entities that promote abortion in our foreign spending. No longer would we support the UN's effort to force or pay for China's one-child policy, in which women have testified before Congress. I've been there. I've heard them. I've talked to some of them, where they have been forced to undergo abortions by the government, and in some cases forced sterilizations because they have a one-child policy. Hollywood's okay doing business with them, literally in partnership with the communist government. Amazing. Amazing that the media, the news media, allows them to get by with such hypocrisy. All right, let's go to Andy in Georgia. Andy, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Mr. Perkins? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Man, I'm agreeing with a caller who called earlier and said it's a direct confrontation of Christ. But I believe also it's a direct attack on the family that they want to promote homosexuality, abortion, you know, because if you're homosexual, you can't have no baby. You're not going to, and if you have abortion, you're not going to have that baby to really grasp the concept of love of the family, the father, the son, or parent and a child, because that's what I feel the sacrifice of Jesus is a direct example of, a father's love, how much he must love us as his children to allow his one and only son to die for us. Just if not only we believe, and I believe that's one of the things that there's been a play on words of, as long as we believe, we can do what we want to do. That's not the case. And also to turn the other cheek. I really don't, I think that the Christian has put so much emphasis on that right there that we're weak and they're not really stand up and fight for what we believe in. Because I know when Jesus went in there in that tabernacle or temple, wherever he went up in there at, and they were selling stuff on his tables, he flipped them over. You know, I'm not saying we should be rude or wrong, but I mean, if we need to be rude, we need to be rude. Look at Georgia. You know what I mean?
Well,
I'm from Georgia, and they got.
Yeah, I think you're right, Andy. There's a time to speak up. There's a time to be forceful. I think the point about turning the other cheek is when it is. It's not about us. And if we're motivated out of anger for something somebody said or did to us, then it's wrong. Jesus wasn't offended because somebody shortchanged him. He was offended because the house of his father, which was to be a house of prayer, had been turned into a place of thieves, a place of selling. And so our heart should be that, yes, there are times when we get angry, we step up, we speak out of righteous indignation, not because we're offended, but because it offends God. All right, folks, out of time. But we're going to be back, Lord willing, tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.